reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to work on your thinking. Number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Hold your place in Romans chapter 6 and go to the right to the book of Galatians. I've used several illustrations of sin, several illustrations of righteousness. My go-to, and it always resonates, is driving on the interstate. Okay, and here's my favorite. There's two lanes of traffic as far as you can see ahead of you, and some idiot flies up on your backside, okay, going about 75 or 80. I'm not sure where he wants you to go. I've never asked because I was afraid he would tell me. Say amen right there. You follow me? That's the one that just seems to get all of us. There's a whole lot more issues. So let's just read them. And maybe I won't make too many comments. That's probably not going to happen, but we'll see. Hope springs eternal, right? Okay. So let's look at verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. That's a mouthful. I said no comments. I didn't get through one line and they have. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody say amen, oh me, or move on. Y'all ain't helping me now. I need a little audience participation, okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, the Bible says love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse number 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth, desireth, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I put in my Bible, only to help me understand it, not to correct it, after that verse I just read, you cannot do the things that you would, I put after that, do. You cannot do the things that you would do, okay? And then verse number 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, okay? You're not doing it because you're afraid of getting in trouble or getting caught. You're doing it because you love Jesus. You're not under law, you're under love. Come on now. The other one that always resonates is when I bring it to the marriage. A friend of mine was working with he was born again, loved the Lord. He was working with a man who, this is just information, who had married a missionary's daughter, and they'd been married several years at this point. And he came to me, he said, Brother Doug, pray for me, I need wisdom. He said, here's my co-worker's conversation of late. Why would God restrict us to one man for one woman for one lifetime? And here's what he said. He said, every day, more than once, so many women, so little time. That's raw, ain't it? 7 minutes into the message on a Wednesday night. Here's what he told his friend. He said, I've been faithful. Now, I would debate that based on Matthew chapter 5. But physically, he said he had been faithful. Let me tell you something. If he didn't get saved or right with God, those days of outward faithfulness were numbered at best. Because if you think in that way, you're a time bomb waiting to happen. Let's gird up the loins of our mind. That's what the Bible says. Okay, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under law. What if I said, man, honey, I know, you know, at 1984, 38 years ago, those vows, but man, that was a different era back then. We're in a different time frame right now. We're not under law, we're under grace. Red would look me in the eyeballs and say, you under law. Exactly. Yeah, if your kid gets a law introduced in Raleigh and it's named after him, this is called because, you know, a rock rolled down the hill and ran over your kid. So now we have to put fences on every mountain to keep rocks from rolling down. And that would be called Logan's Law. Okay, that would be Chrissy's Law. You're exactly right. Okay, let's read a few of them. I'll just read them. Now, here are the works of the flesh. You ready? If you're ready, say amen. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means unbridled lust. Just wide open with the hammer down. Idolatry, anything that comes between you and God. Witchcraft. Don't think you're not guilty of witchcraft because you haven't cast a spell on anybody today. Witchcraft and rebellion go hand in hand. Bible is clear about that. Hatred. I have heard Bible-believing, professing Christians say, I hate her. I hate him. That is wicked. That is vile. Variance, emulations, that means envy. I looked it up. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And as of the which I told you before and I've told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that would be the sins. Let's put them on my left hand. Okay? Now let's look at the fruit of the Spirit very, very quickly. And here's the deal, because of how a lot of us have been raised, we avoid, at least outwardly, if not up here or here, we avoid a lot of those that I just read. But getting rid of those and not filling my life with the fruit of the Spirit, I am no better than the man who got the demons out of him. And the demons went looking for somewhere else to live, couldn't find anywhere, found friends, and came back and filled him up. I'm not making that up. Some of us have got rid of all the outward stuff, and we don't have any more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance than we ever did, because we can't quit patting ourselves on the back of everything we got out of our lives. That's a first-class Pharisee. Clean up the outward and look really, really good. Here's what Preacher Raines always said, cleaner than a hound's tooth. You say, what does that mean? You ain't never seen a hound dog? Roll those lips back and look at those teeth. They don't even brush them. Say amen right there, and they shine. Right? Verse number 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay, if I address that, it will be off the rails, okay? He's old, and I'm just going to let him holler out every now and then, okay? That's what 80-year-olds do. Say amen right there. Okay, Chris says this sometimes to ladies. Worry, is that the same? She'll say, quit bragging. Ladies like to say, men like to say this, patience just ain't one of my virtues. Ladies don't typically say that, but they'll go, I'm just a worrier. I'm just a worrier. And she'll read them two or three verses about what the Bible says about worrier. And she said, you do know you're bragging on sin. And their eyes get about this big. And she said, how many of you have ever stood up and testified and said, y'all pray for me, I'm just a worrier. And they all go like this because she's setting them up like bowling pins. Okay? That's what my bowling ball preaching. You set them up and knock them down. Okay? And they'll go, yeah, that's me. I'm just a worrier. And she'd say, how many of you? She said, that's as bad as standing up and saying, y'all pray for me, I'm just an adulteress. And there's always a delayed effect on that one unless you've got somebody like Billy who goes, wow. Everybody else goes, there's just that 3-second delay, okay, like on radio where they can hit the button if somebody does that. Quit bragging about our sin. No, I'm going to say that one again. Quit bragging about our sin. And men, now we're not going to brag about worrying because that's feminine. Here's us. Patience just ain't one of my virtues. Okay? Temperance. Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. And the absence of it, church, the absence of it is sin. Oh, Brother Raines, it ain't that serious. Who moved in the day you got born again? Holy Spirit. And if he's not producing that, I don't expect a young person to have conquered it. And I know I've got inbred sin. I've got tendencies that I'll forever battle. I get all of that. I get it. I've confessed those more than I care to remember. But I'm telling you, Brother Fred, I can have victory. I can have victory. It's wrong for me to look an inmate in the eyes who can't keep his eyes and his hands off the women and say, God can give you victory over that, and then walk out of the jail patting myself on the back because I'm not patient. You say, Brother Rains, that's easy preaching and hard living. I get it. He called my name one time from the pulpit, and he said, you're not patient enough with your wife. Now, he had insider information, Fred. He saw me interact with my wife way more than the church did. And they thought I was a good husband. But the preacher knew I wasn't. And if you thought I got a family pass, you are wrong. He said, I know more about you because God wanted me to know more about you. You just need to be patient with that woman. You know what I did? I said, Lord, I need patience in my life. Oh, don't ask for patience. That means tribulation's going to start coming. Duh. You say, why'd you do that? I didn't want her finding some patient man. Oh, Miss Chris wouldn't do that. I don't think she would either. But I didn't want somebody at the that she cleaned for or some stranger on the at a business place being kinder and more gentle and more patient with her when I was not. I know that's right down where we live. I know that is right down where we live, but my Bible gets right down where I live. Here's what I've learned the older I get. We like it when it gets right down where Andrew lives. And we like it when he nails PJ, man, we like it down there. We don't like it getting down our street. Okay, so let's go back to Romans. I just wanted to read those and just kind of get us out there thinking, because some of us, we hear Romans 6, 7, and 8, and we're like, yeah, that's for the strugglers. No, that's for us. That's who Romans 6, 7, and 8 is for. There's way more preaching in verse number 11, reckon yourselves therefore to be dead. There's way more preaching than I've done, okay? It deserves more than two messages. And if God tells me to go back to it, we will. But I want us to look at verse 12 and verse number 19 tonight, okay? Verse number 12 and verse number 19. Y'all know the answer to this because I asked you on Sunday. You ready? Look at verse number 12. On the count of three, tell me the verb. One, two, three. Let. Let. The verb in 11 was reckon. The verb in 12 is let. The verb in 13 is yield. Look at verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign. Do me a favor. Everybody say reign. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it. Obey what? Sin. Obey it in the lust, the desires thereof. Listen to your preacher. Those aren't all sexual. Every time we hear the word lust, that's what we think. It could be money. It could be fame. I know people don't care 2 cents about money as long as they've got a title. And everybody rises when they walk in the room. They'd live on minimum wage as long as they were thought to be something when they were nothing. God help you if you ever work for him. I'd rather work for somebody who's money hungry. I want to tell the money hungry guy Jesus is all he needs. But when it comes to making my day in and day out life miserable, you work for somebody who's all wrapped up in a title, you're going to be miserable. Look at verse number 12. Let. You know what it means? To be king. Oh, Brother Rains, you got that from the word reign. Oh, no. I promise you, go online or get the old-fashioned page-turning book and look up let in Romans 6, 12. Look up the word let in your Strong's Concordance. It means to be king. It is the very word also used for our Messiah. Now, when I read that, I was like, wow, wow, wow. And then God said, not really, but kind of. It's kind of like, dummy, look at the verse. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Here's another one. To exercise highest influence and control. So here's the question. Who's on the throne in your heart? Who's on the throne in your heart? Is it you? Please listen to me. That is a recipe for disaster. I'm serious. That is a recipe. I'm my own man. I'm my own man. No, no, no. You're following the leadership of demonic influences. I don't talk about spiritual warfare very often, but I promise you, in this day we're living in, Brother Youngblood, it's been the days that y'all have heard about since y'all were kids. The day that we're living in, I promise you, there are many spirits gone out into this world and demonic influences are at work. Some of the idiocy that you read and hear and see and calling evil good and good evil. Alex and I talked about that a couple weeks ago. Let me tell you something. That is beyond just the good old-fashioned sin nature. That is demonic influences. And Brother Matthew, they want your kids. Micah, they want your baby. And this battle is not going to be won, fellas, with flesh and blood. I'll buy me some more guns. Build you an arsenal. You won't win this battle. And I've got mine, and I'm not giving up my Second Amendment rights. This ain't an anti-Second Amendment message. I'm just telling you, when it comes to protecting those babies, a gun's not going to win that battle, John. Somebody tries to break in tonight, okay, you say, don't go to your knees in prayer. Pull out your gun and let him hear you load it. Let him hear this. I think we got some sound effects at home where even if you can't get to the gun, we got until we can get to the guns, we've got the sound effects. But let me tell you something, Derek. Protecting these boys is going to be one on your knees. Going to be one in the prayer closet. All you younger men. Hopefully got a desire to have a wife and a family one day, sooner rather than later. Oh, Brother Raines, it's too dark out there. No, sir. When they got carried captive into Babylon, he said, get married and raise families and plant gardens and build houses. That's what he did. He said, don't be acting like a vagabond. He said, here's what he told him, John. He said, live. That's what he said now. And I am telling you, you better make up your mind and you better let your enemies know. You better let your friends know. You better let your church know. I'm going to meddle for a minute. You better let each other know who's on the throne in your life. This Wednesday is for Bible study and worship. I get it. But let me tell you another huge component of us coming together. And it's, I'll be straight up honest with you. I get it. I get it. I get it. We've worked today. I've been more focused on church, and she's on the project that we're on. I get work. I love work. I like to see stuff accomplished. But let me tell you something. It's harder in the summer than it is in the winter when we feel like moles, when you leave and it's dark and you get home and it's dark. Ain't too much of a sacrifice to come to church. But when you could be out there making $35, $40, $50, and $60 an hour, the devil will tell you it's a little bit of a sacrifice. So why are we here? In addition to studying God's word, in addition to worshiping, let me tell you the other reason. We're here to encourage one another. Matthew, if you hadn't showed up, just a little bit too much hassle. Rush home from work, wife, babies, supper, da-da-da-da-da. That'd have been a discouragement to somebody else who came. Oh, Brother Raines, they wouldn't think anything about it. They might not say it, but they'd think it. If it's not important to him, why should it be important to me? If it's not important to him, why should it be important to him? We need each other. We need each other. Okay? I wish the church was full. I get it. Not everybody can make it on a Wednesday. But I'm telling you, if we can, we ought to. We need what we get, and we're here for each other. And I said all that to say this. This is, in addition to those other reasons, this is a military strategy meeting where we're arming for battle when we go back out there. I need what I get on Wednesday. And if I do, I know you do as well. So let not. That's a royal word. It's a kingly word. It's an authoritative word. I want to ask you, who's calling the shots in your life? Look at verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, there's the word again, excuse me, as instruments of righteousness unto God. I started this illustration on Sunday, and I want to finish it tonight. Swiss rolls. Betsy said she felt something on that. I promise you, Preacher Raines did, okay? Collegedale, Tennessee, is that right? The Little Debbie plant is in Collegedale, Tennessee, about 25 minutes from where she is born and raised. When Emily was 2 years old, she spent a week with my in-laws. When we met them in Atlanta and gave her to them so she could spend a week with her grandparents, she looked like a normal child. When we picked her up a week later, she looked like Debbie, but not little Debbie. They opened that van door. They bought a van because they were grandparents. Okay? You have no idea what it means to be a grandparent. They opened that door, and she's in that car seat. She's going, we gasped, did we not? And on the way, we didn't have cell phones then. So we got home, and we were in shock. We were in shock there in the parking lot at a mall in Atlanta, which was where we always met to swap off grandkids. And when we got home, she called her mom. She said, Mom, did Emily do all right this week? She said, yes, Chrissy, what do you mean? And she said, she looks like she gained a little weight. Well, we went to the Little Debbie thrift store and loaded up on snacks so that if she wanted one, she could have one. Chris said, how many did she eat? She said, well, I don't know. There's not any left. Have I exaggerated one part of that story? Her daddy snuck. I don't think snuck is a word. Snuck and found a phone and called her and said, Chrissy. Said, every time I saw her, she had one in her hand. He said, I couldn't say anything in front of your mama because she'd get upset at me. That's a wise man. Somebody say amen right there. That's lap worthy, Brother Youngblood, right there. He said, every time I saw her, she had one in her hand. I said, these taste good, but you ain't supposed to have one in your hand all day long, every day of the week. Okay. So here we go, Little Debbie. I did some research to see which Little Debbie is the most popular. Normally, the Swiss roll comes in about number two, okay? It is so popular in some circles, it's called a legend. Now, you a serious Little Debbie aficionado if you call them legends. And over here, we have Bob the Broccoli Spear, Little Debbie, and Bob. I've already been asked for a Little Debbie after church. No one has expressed any desire whatsoever in my broccoli. Now look at verse number 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Everybody look at that word yield. You ready? You know what it means? To place beside or near. All that horrible list of sins I read in Galatians. Can we all, if you're able to hear me with understanding, can we all agree those are very real temptations in the world we live in? So here's my point. Which neighborhood am I going to be closest to? Sin or righteousness? And you may think that's a terrible illustration. Find one that helps you. I'm trying to illustrate the point. Here's what Proverbs says. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So let's face it, I'm going to get hungry tomorrow. What do I need to put in my lunchbox? Something that's better for me than not good for me. Okay, everybody's going, please get off food. You know, I ain't giving up my Debbies. As long as that's the only Debbie you're dealing with. Lift your heads, we ain't praying. So here's what some people do. Chris and I were on a diet one time. No, many times. I calculated it the other day. Brother Youngblood, I've lost 750 pounds. That is God's honest truth. I ought to start a weight loss clinic and say, you too can learn how to use 750 pounds. Okay? Now, it's the same 15 a whole bunch of times. Everybody lift your head. Everybody's going, wait about food. Two-thirds of us is overweight. I am too. I get it. We had agreed. Guys, if she hadn't asked you to help hold her accountable, don't. Y'all, that went right over three. Everybody's heads but three of you, Penny and Billy. If she has not asked you to help her be accountable, don't. But we had asked each other, let's be accountable. So I'm studying or work, I'm doing something, and I hear, that is a very distinct sound. There's very few things in your kitchen that sound like that. I mean, I call it a little bit of heaven. And wherever I was, I said, what you eating? She said, broccoli. I said, since when does broccoli come in cellophane? They just started laughing it that way. And I walked in there, she had chocolate and cream, all that. I said, that ain't broccoli. That's why on Mother's Day we give our ladies bagfuls of candy and say, enjoy your broccoli. You can thank her for that. So ever since then, if we want to eat something we know we're not supposed to, we just rename it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, okay? We're going to sing two verses of Just As I Am. Y'all with me? That's why adultery is called an affair. That's why drunkenness is called a sickness. Rename it. And we do it all the time. I'm not gossiping. Oh, y'all wish I'd stay on adultery. I'm not gossiping. Thank you, Derek. A 14-year-old. I needed a fellow 14-year-old to appreciate the humor right there. I'm not gossiping, Brother Youngblood. I've got a prayer request. And I'm burdened. Just burdened. I'm just burdened. God knows my heart. Yes, he does, and it's wicked as the charred walls of hell. So we can laugh about the world. We can throw stones at the world for renaming adultery and renaming drunkenness. We rename the sins of the heart. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And I want to ask you a question. Neither yield your members. I thought about this, Christian. I thought about this. Which neighborhood spiritually do I choose to live in? Little Debbie Lane or Broccoli Boulevard, right? I also thought about this. Some of us got people in our neighborhood we need to evict. Well, that'll preach. Pick one. Pick a sin. Buddy, if it's moved in next to you, and let me tell you something, you'll deal with stuff in your 30s that never bothered you in your 20s. You'll deal with stuff in your 40s that you had complete and total victory over at 25. Say, Brother Raines, explain that. I do not know how. Because we're growing in grace. We're memorizing the word. We've heard more and more preaching, right? We've got more victories to draw from. If you think a victory yesterday is going to guarantee success tomorrow, I got news for you. You are wrong. Here's what Preacher Raines has told 1,000 people in my lifetime. He has said, your flesh is flesh, and that's all it'll ever be is flesh, and it gets more corrupt the older you get. And the other thing that we need to remember is what is an incredible battle for him may be nothing for me, and then something that just gives me fits is something that he'd never sneeze at. You'd be wise not to look down on somebody who's struggling with something you don't struggle with. Come on, I'm going to stay there, church. That's what divides churches. Why is he struggling with that? Why are you struggling with what you struggle with? Oh, I'm not struggling with anything. We just found out your struggle. Sometimes when people say, Brother Raines, I wish you'd deal with this. I want to say, what can I deal with that will help you? And I want to see how long it takes them to come up with something. We're all walking around in a sin nature. Oh, not me, Brother Raines. Don't bathe from now till Sunday. And Brother John will be the self-appointed odor banner who will say, buddy, we love you, but you need to clean up. Soap ain't expensive. Brother Youngblood, I know we got a lot of inflation going on and supply chain issues. Soap is still cheap. And if you need an offering for soap, we'll buy you some. And there's truck stops with showers. Come on, church. You say, Brother Raines, what's that got to do anything? That got to do with anything? Your sin nature is alive and well, and your rank. It means we smell you before we see you. You follow me? We're rotten. We're rotten to the core. And I tell you, we need, so I want to ask you something. Who's on the throne in your life? And number two, which neighborhood have you chosen to live in? Who are you letting in your neighborhood? Here's what a pastor's wife said at Stacy, our oldest daughter's first baby shower. She said, Stacy, I'm going to quote somebody that nobody in this room likes, me included. She said, I'm going to quote Hillary Clinton. They gasped. And here's what she said, Brother Michael. She said, it does take a village. Now, we'd all bow up in the back. Nah, ain't no village raising my kid. She said, it does take a village. She says, so choose your village carefully. Who's influencing your kids? Well, Brother Raines, I have to let them be around so-and-so. No, you don't. No, you don't. Go to the birthday party, drop off a gift, eat a bowl of ice cream and a little Debbie cake, say amen right there, and say, I love you and God be with you till we meet again. Amen. They don't go on 3-week vacations with people who don't support you and what you're trying to teach them from the Word of God. That doesn't mean you're better than them. It doesn't mean you have a holier-than-thou attitude and pride and condescension. It doesn't mean any of that, but it means you're not going to put your values on my kids or lack thereof. And it's not truly lack because they do value something. They're just going to value different things than you do. Amen. Church, we need victory. We need victory, and we've got it. If you are born again, God the Holy Ghost lives inside of you, and you can walk in victory. Amen. I was thinking about this on the way to church or right before I left. Doubting, you know, making sure I'm born again. Questions people come to me. Making sure I'm saved. Understanding trials. Understanding the hard times in life. And then this issue, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Brother Youngblood, those are the three issues I'm faced with the most often as a pastor. Personally, I think they're kind of interwoven. I think they're interwoven. But I'm telling you, not because it's me, but because it's God's Word, that simple 3-verse text, reckon, let, and yield. Let me tell you something, that'd give a whole lot of victory to a whole lot of people, Brother John, if they'd let it. And too many of us don't know enough about it. Too many of us know it and don't live it. Here's what we say. Well, I'm not super spiritual like you. You pray for me. I'm not spiritual like you. A, super spiritual is nowhere in your Bible. You got spiritual and you got carnal. Said this two Sundays ago. Wasn't it two Sundays ago or was it this past Sunday? There's no middle ground. Oh, I'm leaning spiritual today. Got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. The old woman, she let me have it. So I'm leaning on the carnal side. I don't call her old lady. Y'all follow me?
Yeah.
No. You're carnal or you're spiritual. And if we'd get honest with ourselves, we'd get tired of being carnal and we'd take the steps necessary to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for your word. It's so powerful. It's so life-changing. It's so real. I pray that I'd be a better example of it to this precious flock. In Jesus' name, amen.